Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, Proverbs chapter 12. How many of you have ever heard the statement that Jesus made? He said, do as they say, but not as they do. Speaking of who? Which group? Does anybody remember? Pharisees. In other words, they said the right things, but they didn't do the right things. The book of Proverbs is about a man that did the right thing part of the time, but in the end, ceased to do what his own wisdom advised. Now I want you to notice, if you would, Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to look at the first five verses. I want you to notice tonight, if you would, that it's about righteousness versus wickedness. Now let me just define these two terms. Doing what is right, righteousness, is doing what the Lord says to do. So telling the truth is righteousness. Paying your bills is righteousness. Being kind to people is righteousness. Now, on the flip side, wickedness is not telling the truth. I mean, I've heard people say, well, you know, that wasn't totally the truth, but it was close. We look at it as a little white lie, no such thing. The Lord says it is either righteousness or it's wickedness. So once we understand the definitions that the Lord has, then it makes it easier to understand the scriptures. So wickedness is anything that you and I do that is not pleasing and right toward the Lord. So if you were to take all of the scriptures and everything the Lord told us to do, and you said, well, you know, I'm not going to do this one and this one and this one, we have a wicked heart. We have done wickedly. So understand, now let's go back and look and notice, if you would, in verse number 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Brutish is a stubborn, slow, foolish. It's one that is just hard to work with. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline, the righteous and the wicked are compared from God's viewpoint. Okay? Keep in mind, righteousness and wickedness is defined by the Lord. So his viewpoint, really what matters. Now tonight, you and I have to understand it's either truth or it's not truth. It's either right or it's not right. And all of us in this room, it's a battle. I pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to always be truthful. Anybody here ever had somebody ask you something and you quickly answered it and it wasn't exactly the truth, but it wasn't like you were trying to lie about it. You just didn't think real quickly. And you said something, said, wait a minute, that wasn't the right thing. You know, I pray and say, Lord, help me to slow down enough to where I think about what I say, that I always try to say the truth. That is something everybody in this room, we ought to try to do, because our default is wickedness. In other words, our nature is to do that which displeases the Lord. It's not to do right. And everybody in this room has got to work at doing what's right. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us, but you'll notice it, we're trying to do what's right in God's point of view. Now, that changes it. Because if you said, well, I want to do what's right according to pastor's point of view, that might be one thing today and another thing next month. But in God's point of view, he never changes. He's always the same. His word never changes. It's always the same. So telling the truth will always be right, no matter what. Telling a lie will always be wrong. Stealing will always be wrong. Being good to people will always be right. So notice with me, if you're in the outline, A, and he's talking about now listening to instruction. If we appreciate instruction or teaching, we will love knowledge. So in other words, let's go back and look at verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. You get a class full of children in the class, and one of them really loves to listen. He's really wants to pay attention. He's enjoying what he's hearing. You know what that means? He loves knowledge. And so here tonight, if you have a desire for instruction, you have a desire for teaching, by the way, that's why the Lord said, I want you to come to church, to my house, that you would hear the instruction of God's word. And that's the reason why we want to teach your children
Children, obey your parents. Listen to their instructions. And notice, if you have your Bible, turn back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 5 and verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. You know what he's saying? Listen to me. He says it all throughout the book of Proverbs because he knows how important it is for you and I to listen, but to want to listen. Now, tonight you're in church. How much do you want to listen? That's a personal choice. You can let your mind wander. You can think about this thing, that thing, and be in church and not hear much. But you'll notice here he says, whoso loveth instruction. So you, when you come to church, you Lord, help me to love instruction. Notice this, it says, loveth knowledge. You gain the facts and the information that help you do what is right. And notice in the outline, if you would, if we appreciate instruction or teaching, we will love knowledge. They go together. Loving instruction and learning go together. If a child is in class and he wants to be instructed, then he's going to gain knowledge. If a ball player is playing and he's listening and said, I want to learn how to play the position better, he is gaining knowledge. He will pick it up quickly because he's listening and taking what he's got and putting it in his mind. And the Lord said, look, it's important for you to learn to listen. Now notice, if you would, instruction. Let's take just a minute. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, I have this respect of God and I want to learn all I can. So I don't want to displease him. I'm fearful to disappoint him. That's the beginning of knowledge. So when you're fearful of missing something from your boss, or you're fearful of missing something from your God, that's the beginning of wisdom. Okay, now follow next with me. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So a foolish person says, I don't need to hear this. A foolish child in class says, I don't care anything about this or that. I remember being in class, lowest grade ever made in school. I remember sitting in class, it was English literature. And does anybody know what English literature includes? Can anybody tell me something about English literature? Anybody know? Have you ever heard of Beowulf? You didn't miss a thing if you haven't heard about it. But Beowulf is a part of English literature. And our professor had a PhD in something about Beowulf. I don't know what. I don't even know why you'd even waste your time on that. But anyway, it was in Beowulf, it was about the rhythm and the rhyme and all the different the stanzas and all the stuff going on. I'm trying to figure it out. And you know what? I made a conscious decision in my mind. In the first half of the class, I am not interested in Beowulf. So this is what I did. I did exactly what some of you do. I went to the very back row, and I got up there and I sat down. And the reason I liked the back row is because this wall was here. And so I could sit in class and get a little bit of sleep for the next class. Well, about halfway through the class, I realized, because I had no interest in the instruction that was being given, I wasn't doing so hot. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Now, listen very carefully. My mother was working 3 jobs to send me a little bit of money. And I was working, trying to get through school. And it dawned on me. I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm just sitting back here. I'm sorry I'm messing with the camera. I forgot that. I'm sitting back here, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me one day, my mother, she's going to get my report card. And at that time, they weren't fearful of being sued, and so they sent your parents a report card. And don't do that anymore. And so it hit me. So all of a sudden, I got real interested in Beowulf. Real interested probably is not a true statement, but it was close. It was as real of interest as I could muster up. Okay? So I got working on it, and man, I'm working on it. The guy beside me, he was the best man in my wedding, and I got him to say, look, we can't do this. We got to get going. We got to have some, we got to make a decent grade in the class. I got to pass this class. And so, man, I started working, trying to pay attention. And notice, whoso loveth instruction. Somehow I conjured up in my heart a love for Beowulf. And it says this, loveth knowledge. So I started to see my grades start to rise. But because I had no interest, the first part, it's like dragging an iron ball up a hill. And so notice, if you would, I'm not going to tell you what I made in the class. It's none of your business, all right? Okay, so anyway, I passed the class. And when I got my final grade, at the end, I just sat back there and thanked the Lord for that final grade. And I sent it home to my mom. And I said, Mom, you see that grade in Greek or whatever it was. You see that grade in this or that and whatever. Don't mind those. But you see that one grade down there in English literature? That's the best grade on that sheet. And she said, I'm proud of you, son. If she only knew all that I went through to try to get that one grade. And the difference between first 9 weeks, second 9 weeks, first semester, second semester, was one thing. Interest in learning. Whoso loveth instruction. Teach me. I need to know about Beowulf. Teach me. Without interest, you'll fail. Now notice, if you would, I want you to see a couple other verses. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 15. Notice Proverbs 15. Look at verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Now, when you talk about spiritual things and somebody says, I really don't care about it, now you're despising your soul, because the only way you can get your soul to heaven is whenever you are interested in the instruction of how to get there. Jesus is the only way. And when you despise that and say, I don't care about how to get to heaven, you despise your own soul. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. In every bit of instruction, there's always sometimes where we get reproved. Sometimes where we get corrected about something. Well, I thought this, and we learned something. Now, notice with me, if you would, if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 19. Notice this passage, Proverbs 19, 20 and 21. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So he says, look, you need to hear counsel. Now that would be something, you're about ready to make a decision. You need to hear the counsel of what somebody's going to give you, advice. But then it says, receive instruction. You've got to open up your heart and say, I want this instruction. You receive it, you take it to heart. If you don't do that, notice if you would, in verse number 20, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. All of us want to be smart in the end, but you got to listen in the beginning. And then notice verse 21. There are many devices in the man's heart. Devices, schemes. Look if you have the outline. Notice if you would, A, if we appreciate instruction or teaching, we will love knowledge. They go together. Some instruction is corrective. In other words, if you're willing to listen to someone give you, don't do it this way, do it this way. Correction. Instruction and reproof. The Bible says the word of God is given for correction, instruction, and reproof. But if we're not listening, it doesn't help us. And it can damage our soul. Now notice with me, if you would, be in the outline, a righteous or godly man gains the favor of God, but God condemns the wicked. So if you want to get God's favor, now notice it with me, if you would. Notice in verse number two, take your Bible to Proverbs 12:2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A man that does good things, a man that does right things, he obtains favor of the Lord. The Lord says, man, I'm proud of him. I sure am proud of her. for doing good things. Now, when we say good, that would be things that would be maybe outside the law, but that would be principles. Let me give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you heard that someone was struggling financially and you said, you know, I think I'm going to write a check and send it to so-and-so for $50 just to help them. Or maybe we take up another's offering and you write a check for $20 or you put a $20 bill in there. You did a good thing. And the Bible says you gained favor from the Lord. Maybe you're a lady here and you said, look, I want to help someone when they're sick. And maybe there's a mother that has small children. And we say, look, let's take in some food. And so you pick a night and you fix a whole meal and you fix it up good and you take it over. You did a good thing. And God says, I'm proud of you for that. A good man obtained the favor of the Lord. You help someone with their car. How many have ever seen a lady broken down in a parking lot and her battery's dead, and so you want to give her a jump to help that battery get going, and you did a good thing. So that's what he says, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. But notice with me, if you would, he says this, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Now let's take just a minute, wicked devices. Notice the outline. The wicked scheme to bypass right. A device is a mental thought or is a mental exercise to how to get around something that we ought to do. It's a device. And notice if you what he says, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. God says, I hate that. I hate when you try to circumvent doing what's right. I hate that. And notice if you would, B1, the cheater plots to steal answers. God says, son, I hate that. I hate it when you try to steal an answer, when you look on somebody else's paper and you try to steal it, or when you write numbers or something on your hand and try to steal answers, or you try to get it off the teacher's desk. There have been whole test keys that have been stolen and passed around the class so everybody could do well. God says, I hate scheming of cheaters. But notice not only that, too, the thief plans to rob others. I hate the thief as he schemes to do that which is wrong, to take from somebody else that which he did not work for. Then notice, if you would, 3, the lustful purpose to take the moral purity from the clean. I hate it whenever someone schemes to be immoral with this woman or this man. I hate that. Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 5 describe a woman that's out trying to lure a man. God says, I hate that. It's the scheming of the wicked that I hate that. You know what? You and I, we would not probably do that, but we might scheme a little bit to bypass right around somebody at work. We might scheme a little bit to bypass right our children at school. It's important that we learn to do right and to do good to obtain the favor of God and not to scheme around that which we know is right. Now notice, if you would, 4 in the outline, B4, wickedness will never stand the test of time because God only blesses the righteous. Look in verse 3. The root of the righteous shall not be removed. So it's like we put down a root of righteousness or a root of wickedness. The root of wickedness will fade. It'll die. But the root of righteousness gets deeper and deeper and lasts forever. And notice, if you would, see in the outline, a righteous woman. Now I want you to notice this. Number 4, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now let's take it from both sides, men and women. But notice, A, since the scripture talked about a woman, let's take it from her point of view first. A righteous woman, see in the outline, virtuous, one that has moral character and purity, is a great blessing and makes her husband feel like a king when she chooses right. When his wife is faithful to him, it makes him feel important. It makes him feel like I'm worth something because she's for me. That's the reason a helpmate is so important for a man. It's because God designed it that she would support him and he would feel important. And he would be able to do great things for God because he had a helpmate right there pushing him forward and encouraging him. But if she's rotten and she's got her own plans and she's out running around on him, or she's doing things that are behind his back and doing things she ought not to do, using a credit card and he doesn't know about it and whatever, it's like rottenness in the bones. It just steals away your joy. Makes you feel sick. Notice, if you would, he feels if she chooses sin in C in the outline, he feels sick and corrupted. Corruption is something that starts from within. It's like a canker that just destroys from within. Now let's flip it. The same is true if the husband does right or chooses sin. It causes her to feel sick in her soul if he does wrong. So you'll notice it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, so is a virtuous man to his wife. It makes her feel self-worth. It makes her feel like she's of great value because her husband loves her and is proud of her and is loyal to her. It's important. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A virtuous man, a man of integrity morally, is a crown to his wife because he looks to her as his great treasure. And she feels like a queen. Notice, if you would, but she that maketh ashamed, or he that maketh ashamed, is as rottenness in his or her bones. There's just this awfulness that's felt when one does not do the right thing. I've seen it over and over again. I've watched women and men weep because a wife or a husband did not do the right thing. It's as though they were sick with no antidote, because that piece of them was disloyal. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're married, to be loyal, to do right by your mate. God blesses that. And Solomon was trying to get his sons. And you have to understand, his sons were somebody. But he's trying to teach the wives to be faithful to his sons and vice versa. Now I want you to notice, if you would, D in the outline. I want to take a little time on this one, verse number 5. Notice with me, if you would, D in the outline. The thoughts of the righteous are pleasing to the Lord. Look in verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Counsels, it would be, you could be the process that you would hear and think about. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 19 and verse 27. Counsels could be both your thoughts about what somebody gave to you, information you received. You listen to the wrong people. Notice, if you would, Proverbs 19, 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So he says, look, when you have a copy of my word and you see the words of knowledge, and you hear someone say something that doesn't match up with that, it's an error. Cease to listen. Cease to be in that friendship. Go a different direction. Otherwise, the counsels get to your mind. Now, I want you to notice this thought process. Notice, if you would, number one, D1. We control our thoughts by God's grace. You control your thoughts. Nobody does. Now, the old devil can work on us, but if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice with me, if you would. Verse Verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, even though we walk with a bodily form, everybody in this room does, we do not war after the flesh. The battle is not in flesh and blood. We don't take and punch out the old devil with our fists. Notice if he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not human, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, one of the neat things about this thought is this. Pulling down of strongholds. Does anybody, if you remember, in the Old Testament, Jericho, the walls fell outward. And that was a miracle. Why was that a miracle? Because you couldn't put ropes on a wall that was 2 chariots thick and pull it out. So it took a miracle of God to pull down the stronghold of Jericho. And God says it still does in the New Testament. It takes the power of God to pull down the strongholds in the mind. You cannot batter them in. You need the power of God to pull them down. So you can walk right in and destroy that which is within. That which is wicked in your thoughts and heart. Now notice the next phrase, and you'll see it put all to it together. How do you pull down strongholds? Casting down imaginations. Now what are imaginations? Keep and follow with me. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. How do you cast down imaginations? Well, let me show you what happens if you don't. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Notice with me if you would. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians 10, so hold your finger there. Genesis chapter 6. Now keep in mind, what's the word we're comparing? Righteousness with wickedness. So how do you become wicked? By allowing your mind to become a stronghold for Satan. Read Genesis 6. And God saw that the what? Wickedness. They had let themselves go. They had chosen to do whatever they wanted to do and ignored the righteousness of God. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And listen to what it says. And that every imagination, what is that? The thoughts. Of the thoughts of their hearts. Every time they dreamed about something, notice what it says. Of his heart was only evil continually. Now what happens when you don't battle in your mind spiritually and when the victory over your thoughts, notice what it says in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. You want to cause God to say, I wish I'd never made Dave Pittman. Then don't battle in your mind. That's the reason Solomon said, sons, if you think right, God will bless you. Listen to this. The thoughts of the righteous are right. But the thoughts of the wicked are everywhere in the world that there's something that could remotely be wrong. The wicked's going to think about it. So the battle is up here. Now flip your Bible back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And look at verse number 5. Casting down imaginations. So you and I have to bring down those imaginations. We stop the imagination of our mind. Now you can be laying on your bed at night and begin to dream a little bit. It's not like you're thinking. You're just dreaming a little bit. You're letting your mind wander some. Casting down imaginations. If you dream a little bit about being filthy rich and you're going to do this and this, pull down the imagination. If you think about dreaming, being with someone else, pull down the imagination. If you think about, I'm going to make A's on all my classes because I'm going to figure out whatever I have to do, cheat, I'll do whatever it takes, pull down the imagination.
Don't let your mind drift there. Immorality, pornography, battle in your mind. Pull down the imaginations. Now notice what he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Every prideful thought, pull it down. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, pull it down. Well, they can't talk to me like that, pull it down. Every high thing that exalteth itself. When we exalt ourselves and think we're something, pull it down. Now, you can't do it yourself, but you can say, Lord, help me. And he'll take the wall of Jericho and push it down. There are no ropes to pull the wall of Jericho down. Now, if you and I, let's take just a minute. You have a clean mind. You're laying in bed, you let your mind wander a little bit, and you start thinking thoughts that will not be honoring to the Lord. It's like you put the first row of bricks up around your mind. Next night, think further on it. Two rows of bricks. Harder and harder to pull down the imaginations of your heart. That's the reason a godly man never thinks of another woman. A godly woman never thinks of another man. A godly teenager never thinks about disobeying his parents. What if? How many of you heard the statement, I can't wait till I'm 18? A teenager should never have that thought that's trying to walk with the Lord. Why? Because I want to honor my parents and I want to do what's right. And if we don't battle in our minds, if we don't teach our children to battle in their minds when the old devil brings a high thought, I want to do what I want to do, that's a high thought. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. It's a high thought. And notice, if you would, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what that means? It means you take every thought and you bring it and say, Lord, is this okay with you? Now, if you don't do that, if you don't check your thoughts with the Lord, and if he says, no, I don't want you to think that, you get rid of it. You change your thoughts. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how in the world do we do that? Now, let's keep following. Notice this. Number one, D1, we control our thoughts by God's grace. So I want you to understand that you're in control of it by the grace of God. God gives you victory to be able to control your mind and thoughts. Now, there's steps you got to take to do it. But notice this. We must think thoughts that are honoring to the Lord. You know, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. And Philippians 4:8 gives us a little bit about what we're supposed to think. Now listen to this phrase. Listen to this, if you would. Philippians 4, verse 8. I want you to listen to the verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, that's the reason you can't let yourself think of those which are dishonest and untruthful. You can't let the thoughts be in your mind. That's an imagination. It's a high thought. Pull it down. Lord, is this thought okay with you? Most of our thoughts that we know are not okay, we don't have to ask the Lord. We know better. The question is, are we going to bring it down and bring it to the Lord? Are we going to take it captive and say, no, I'm not thinking that thought. Now notice this. Whatsoever things are true and honest and are just according to your word. There's things I can't think about stealing or cheating. But notice this, he says, whatsoever things are pure. He said, these are things that you think about, the pure things. You think about that which is pure, who you're married to. You think about being loyal to your boss, pure. Notice this, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If you hear false stuff going around or something that's not, what if it's a bad report? Well, don't repeat it. Don't think about it. If we'd stop thinking about all the bad reports, now you know what that means? You probably can't watch the politics today. I mean, nothing good about it goes on. Everybody's talking bad about everybody else. Notice he says this, of good report, if there be any virtue, If there be any praise, think on these things. That's the secret. Choose good things to think about. Say no to the bad things. I'm not going that direction. And replace it with good. Now notice, if you would, Roman numeral D3 in the outline. And we'll continue on next week for the rest of the chapter. But notice this. The wicked doesn't think of God. They do not think of God. The Bible says in Psalm 10:4 that the wicked have no thought for the Lord. So if you don't think about the Lord much, then we're thinking about wicked things. Notice this. Four, we have to block out, stop, or change our thoughts that lead to sinful actions. The people in the days of Genesis did not do that. Every imagination of the thought of their hearts were only evil continually. They ceased to bring every thought captive to the Lord. And their mind became rampantly sin. But notice this one. Five, we must learn to hate vain thoughts. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. I want you to see this. Psalm 119, 113. Psalm 119, 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. So what things should you think about? Think about Scripture. Do you remember he said in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So that's the key to it, is memorizing God's word so that whenever vain thoughts come, do you know what's a vain thought? God says, I hate vain thoughts. Thoughts that you think about that have no real spiritual value. It's a vain thought. Something that won't last. Something that's unscriptural. Vain thoughts. Now, notice if you would in the outline, six, the Lord knows our thoughts, so we must think right. When I realized my mother was going to get my report card, it dawned on me. Now, you know what? I don't know why it just dawned on me after 6 weeks. I knew that. But it's like all of a sudden it just hit me. Well, you know what? That's receiving instruction. It doesn't just hit you. God gives you the instruction that you need. But you'll notice here, if you would, in the Lord knows our thoughts, so we must think right. Notice, we should think of the Lord often. Can I give you a couple of suggestions? When you're struggling in your mind, think of the goodness of the Lord. Try to think of some things that the Lord's been good to you with. Well, we live in a great country. You may say, well, I don't like the health care, and all of a sudden you begin to back up and say, well, wait a minute, what's it like in Uganda? What's it like in Djibouti? What's it like in Honduras? What's it like in Fiji? What's it like in New Guinea? What's it like? And you begin to go down the list. You begin to realize, you know, I think it's like 90-something percent of the people on earth have never spent a day in college. You realize how privileged you are? You realize if we sit down and begin to think about the goodness of the Lord, how many of you think about different meals you're going to have during the course of a week? How many of you think about different meals? Let me see your hand. A different meal. How many of you think about, I'm looking forward to the same meal every night, all 7 days. How many of you think about that? Do you realize in most of the world, it's posho, beans, rice, a little bit of fruit? You and I are privileged. Ever walked into Wegmans? I mean, it's like, whoa. My wife sends me up to Wegmans to say, hey, honey, would you get some baked beans? We're going to grill out tonight. Get some baked beans. Have you just walked down the baked beans made by Bush? I bet you there's 20 of them. I walked down there.
I don't know what to get. Hey, just try to buy the right milk. 0%, 2%, 1%, 4%, 12%, 18%. I don't know. It's all over the place. Whole milk. No milk. I mean, it's in a box. It's in a can. I mean, you can get milk of all kinds. Do you realize the privileges that we have? And so we can look at it and say, man, I had a rough day at work. I'll tell you what a rough day at work is. I went out to a rock quarry. You could see a woman and her husband, her son, and they're taking two rocks and they're breaking rocks all day long till they got a pile. And they'd sell that pile for a dollar a day. Now complain about your job. We've got it good. But if you're not careful, our mind will get to all these thoughts. Well, boy, if I just wished I could show my boss, I wished I could, that person over there talked about me. If there be any praise, think on these things. Pure thoughts. Just thoughts. Virtuous thoughts. Do you realize that's the way to win the victory? Is to think about that which is good. Now, notice, if you would, I want you to see in the outline, number six, we should think about the Lord often. Things the Lord's done for us. Think about Him. Think about how often He thinks about us. The Bible says He thinks more thoughts about us than the sand of the sea. Just let that sink down your mind a little bit. He thinks more thoughts about you than the sand of the sea. Why would He do that? Only one reason. He loves you. Hey, you realize who we are? The privileges that we have? How can we think our thoughts and let our thoughts run wild of what we want to when the God of heaven is thinking thoughts about us more than the sand of the sea? We got to grow up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Give me victory in my mind. I want to think good about you. I want to think right. And all of a sudden we begin to do right. Notice this. God hates the thoughts of the wicked. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 15:26. Listen to this verse. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the thoughts of the pure are pleasant words. God says, I see the thoughts of the wicked, and I just hate that. Just grates on me. But oh, I see the thoughts of the pure. I see the thoughts of the righteous. And I just get thrilled. It's pleasant to me. So the question tonight is this. Are you going to have good thoughts? Right thoughts or wrong thoughts? It's a choice. Notice quickly. Look down in verse number seven in the outline. We should be willing for the Lord to see our thoughts and know them. Then we can show Him by our thoughts how much we love Him. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know me. Try me, know my thoughts. How many of us really actually look up to the Lord and say, Lord, are my thoughts all right? Did I do a good job of thinking about you today? Lord, did I do a good job of my thoughts today? All of us should do that. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You can find negative thoughts, but that doesn't benefit you. The thoughts of the righteous are right, and they're pleasant to the Lord. Notice, if you would, quickly in the outline, if we are willing to forsake our wicked thoughts and think of the Lord, He will forgive us and bless us richly. Turn in your Bible to Isaiah 55:7. I want you to listen to this verse. Let the wicked forsake his wicked way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. How? With his thoughts, with his heart. And He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Well, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to bless you if you just think right.
tonight, could I just ask you this question? How are your thoughts this week? Are they good thoughts? Are they positive thoughts? Are they right thoughts? Or are they the opposite of that, wicked? It's a choice. No one sees your mind but God. What does he see tonight? One thing about David that God loved. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. The thoughts choose the way. Lord, look at my thoughts and see if I've got any plans to do wrong. Do you have any tonight? Let's have plans to do right and please the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. How have your thoughts been this week? What about the devices of your heart? Are you interested in learning? Are you trying to gain instruction? Are you willing to be corrected? We're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. And if you need to come talk to the Lord, I encourage you to do that tonight. Lord, I'm sorry for my thoughts. Lord, I want better thoughts. Lord, I want better dreams. Lord, I want my schemes to be right. I want to scheme about you, how to bypass wrong. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.